الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. I apologize for the time switch inconvenience. I know that today is obviously a day that many of us have children who have to go to school the next day. And so we always get into this strange window of when we should actually switch the time. And I realize that, you know, for the next few weeks, or maybe a couple, two, 3 weeks, it gets a little inconvenient. So inshallah, I'll also keep that into account. And I will try to make the gathering shorter, inshallah, so that we can get back home and we can get to the kids, inshallah. There were a couple topics that I wanted to speak about, but last week there was sort of two in my head and we talked about one, and then this week, again, the same story, there's two in my head, but again, we'll talk about one very briefly. And that is that every day after Fajr prayer, we have a dua session. And in that session, we talk about some of the various points relating to the du'as at particular moments in our lives. So for example, we've been talking about the du'a of entering the masjid over the last week, just as an example. And similarly, after Isha prayer, we have a short session in which we talk about some points related to hadith. And in particular, this last few days, we've been speaking about the importance of niyyah and how the niyyah is so central to everything that we do. Anyway, in the context of niyyah, there was one point that came up that kind of weighed a little heavy on me, and so I just wanted to remind us all of that. So, as we're aware, niyyah is the central. Niyyah is the central issue relating to our deeds. And niyyah basically just means intention, and intention is what really drives the reward behind our deeds. So much so that there can be a very, very high and lofty deed, and if the intention is bad, the deed becomes worthless. And there can be what apparently is a low deed, in the sense that it doesn't appear as valuable as we might think. But if the niyyah is high and lofty, then that deed can become high and lofty. So as we're all aware, the reward of our deeds is actually predicated upon the niyyah, which we make at the time, and even along the way as we perform our deeds. So in that vein, we spoke about a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which, it's actually in the book of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, in which there is a description of one of the very early events on the Day of Judgment, one of the very early judgments, we should say, on the Day of Judgment, in which three people are brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and each one is judged. And in particular, the example is given of the first person, who essentially is somebody who... So the example is given of the first person who essentially, there's actually three people, one person who's very wealthy, one person who is very knowledgeable, and now the third person is slipping my mind. What did we talk about that day? Yeah, the shaheed, sorry. Anyway, so there, the first person who's brought was somebody who passed away as a martyr. And when they passed away as a martyr, they're brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they're brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing that happens is that the blessings that were bestowed upon him are related to, he's asked to relate those blessings. So imagine this man is brought before Allah, the judgment is occurring, he died as a martyr, and he comes in the position of being judged, and the question is asked of him to relate the blessings that were bestowed upon him. So all of these blessings are related, and he is acknowledging of all of the blessings that were bestowed upon him. And after he's acknowledging of all the blessings that are bestowed upon him, it said to him, what did you do with these blessings? What did you do with these blessings? And so he says in exchange for these blessings that I battled in your way and I became a martyr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him that you've told a lie. You told a lie. You didn't battle in order to become a martyr. You battled so that people would call you a martyr. And it was said, people called you a martyr. So eventually that person is placed in the hellfire. Then the example is given of the second person, and the second person is someone who had acquired knowledge, had shared it with the people around, and had also become a reciter of the Quran and recited it for the sake of Allah to the people. So this person is brought, and he's made to recount all of the blessings that are bestowed upon him in this life. And after that, it's said to him, and of course he acknowledges and accepts all of these blessings, and after that it's said to him, so what did you do in exchange? What was your, now that you were given all these blessings, what did you do in exchange? And so the person says that I learned and I taught and I spread knowledge and I also recited the Quran. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you've told a lie. You did this because you wanted to be called a scholar and you wanted to be called a qari. And it was said, people called you a scholar and people called you a qari. And so that person is also then eventually led to Jahannam. And then a third person's brought, and the third person is someone who has been given vast wealth from so many different directions, so much wealth. And that person is then brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his blessing, the blessings are narrated upon him, and he's acknowledging of all of these blessings. And eventually it's said to him that you, what did you do? What did you do in the face of these blessings? So he says that I spent in every single way that was pleasing to you. Meaning he's speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spent in every single way that was pleasing to Allah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to this person that you've told a lie. You spent that so that people will call you generous. And it's been said that you were generous. And so that person is also placed in the hellfire. Now, the most obvious point to be taken from this series of events or this narration is that when a person does something, no matter how great, if the intention is bad, then the deed becomes worthless. And in fact, in this particular instance, if the intention is bad, the deed can actually land the person in Jahannam, even though it would have been one of the greatest acts that a person could have performed. I mean, honestly, if we had like a, you know, they have those brainstorming sessions. If we had a brainstorming session and someone put a board on the wall and we just said, list out some of the greatest things that anybody can do as a Muslim in order to earn Allah's pleasure. You know, if one of the first things people would say is gain money and spend it in the path of Allah. Another person would stand up and say, become shaheed. Another person would stand up and say, earn knowledge and spread it. Another person would stand up and say, memorize the Quran and recite it. I mean, these are amongst the greatest deeds that any of us could imagine. Yet in each case, subhanAllah, in each case, because the niyyah was not appropriate, the person's deed became worthless. And not only did they become worthless, they became a cause for the person to be placed in the hellfire. So that's the very sort of immediate point that arises when we think about this example. But, and that should weigh heavily on us, and that obviously will weigh heavily on us because obviously we're all trying to do good, but we would never want that our deeds would actually take us in a direction opposite to the direction that we thought we were going. But I can tell you that as I was sort of thinking about this incident, what also weighed heavily upon me is the idea of what was happening on the Day of Judgment with each of these people. And I think this is something very worthy of being considered as well. And that is that in each of these instances, the person was brought before Allah. And when they were brought before Allah, they were made to acknowledge the blessings that were bestowed upon them. When they were brought before Allah, they were made to acknowledge the blessings that were bestowed upon them. And then in the context of those blessings, they were asked, and so what did you do? And so what did you do? And that's very important because that's telling us what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment. That's giving us a little picture into what's going to happen when we stand before our Lord. We will be asked about the whole story, the whole process will begin with this simple question. These were the blessings that you were given. These were the blessings that you were given. What did you do? And you know how we spoke about that we had the retreat a few weeks back, and in that retreat we talked about how deen is individualized. And each person has space within the deen to be able to express themselves and to be able to achieve their own potential. And that's one of the beauties of deen. It's not that everybody has to score a 90 or everybody has to score a 95 or everybody has to exhibit X, Y, and Z. Everybody's different, and each person will be judged, and each person will be according to their own potential. And our goal is not for everybody to be the same. It's for each person to reach their potential based on what inherently is within them. But not only, and that's true, not only is the deen individualized, but the judgment on the Day of Judgment will be individualized. Each person will be brought separately, and each person's blessings will be recounted before them. And each person will have no choice but to acknowledge those blessings. And then each person, in the context of those blessings and their abilities, will be asked about what they did with those blessings. SubhanAllah, I mean, we need to run this scenario in our mind before it plays out in real life. We need to reflect on this. We need to think about this. We need to ask this question of ourselves. What are the blessings that Allah has bestowed upon me? What are the blessings that Allah has bestowed upon me? Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon me health? Has Allah bestowed upon me knowledge? Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon me ability? Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon me, wealth? All of these things are blessings. All of these things we will have to acknowledge on the Day of Judgment. And then we will have to stand before our Lord, and we will have to explain what we did in the context of those blessings. And that day we won't be able to escape. We'll be judged against ourselves. For example, if I have X amount of wealth, and I spend the vast majority of that wealth on myself, for my own comfort, for my own pleasure, for my own status, then that will be a proof against me. That's a potential proof against me. If I have a certain degree of knowledge, or let's put it this way, I have the ability to gain a certain degree of knowledge. I've been given a certain degree of intellect. That's probably more appropriate. I have a certain intellect. I have X ability to study. I have X time in my life to study. And all of that time went to enrich me, to achieve my own goal of what I was trying to achieve as far as status and wealth and job and ultimate profession. That itself will be played before me. And I'll be asked based on that, based on my own efforts and abilities, what did I do? So this is something that we, as people who are striving, and particularly people who are preparing for the Day of Judgment, this is something that should weigh heavily upon us. We have to be cognizant of the abilities that Allah bestowed upon us. If I'm free, and what I mean by free is that if there's life has calamities associated with it. There's calamities that constantly occur, and if we haven't been hit with calamity, each of us in this room will face some calamity in our lifetimes. That's just the nature of life. No one can escape it. But there's periods of openness and there's period of tightness as far as calamities are concerned. There's some time in life when very few calamities are present and we have the ability to do so many things. For example, you know, I'm relatively young, I don't have many challenges in life, and so I take all my energy and time and I place it into something and I'm able to succeed in that, whether that be graduate school or whatever it might be. And then later in life, there's calamities, and because there's calamities, I'm compressed and I don't have the same ability to open up to be able to perform, and so there's less of an opportunity for me. But we need to recognize that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us wus'ah, you know, given us space, given us openness, given us flexibility and freedom, then that is an opportunity to serve Him and to serve others in particular. And if we don't leverage that, then it'll be a problem for us on the Day of Judgment. We need to appreciate the reality of the Day of Judgment before it actually falls upon us. That's wisdom. So, like, I honestly sit back and I think about myself and I say, well, I learned all these intricacies of calculus, physics, organic chemistry, molecular biology, certain amount of literature that's required in order to get an undergraduate degree, all of these medical sciences. I mean, Allah gave me a mind to be able to process all that and gave me a lot of space to be able to have the peace and freedom to be able to study these things. But then on the Day of Judgment, I have to stand before Allah. And I have to show some kind of balance that all these blessings were bestowed upon me, so what did I do with them? Now, if that's the blessings that Allah has bestowed upon us, and we take that ability that we've been given, and we use it to serve others, then that's great. Then that would be something that we can say. That, you know, I took it, and I took these, Ya Allah, you bestowed upon me health and space and ability and the intellect, the IQ to be able to acquire all these different types of knowledge, and I took this and I gained this knowledge and I used it to serve humanity. Okay, that could be a potential. But if it's going to be that I gained all this knowledge and I began to advance myself, and it was for the purpose of me earning a certain amount of wealth, it was for the purpose of me to earn a certain annual salary, I wanted to be the one in charge and not be the one that was, you know, told what to do, whatever it might be, then that could become also, that could completely flip on me, and I could end up being in trouble on the Day of Judgment for that. So we should be very particular about asking the questions before they're asked, about thinking about the Day of Judgment before it occurs. And this is a type of muraqabah. We talk so much about muraqabah in this gathering, where a person should, you know, stop and reflect and think about circumstances. And I've said this before, there's a muraqabah of the grave. What will happen to me when I go to the grave? There's a muraqabah of death. What will happen to me when I die? And it helps to open up realities in our lives. There's a muraqabah of the Day of Judgment. What will happen to me on the Day of Judgment? What will happen to humanity on the Day of Judgment? There's a muraqabah of Jahannam. There's a muraqabah of Jannah. These are all things that we need to reflect on before they occur. Because once they occur, it'll be too late. So today is the day. These are the times where we should actually reflect on, okay, Allah gave me wealth. Allah gave me a certain degree of wealth. I have the ability to feed myself, feed my family, comfortably house myself, pretty much fulfill any desire that I have, and I generally still have wealth left over. So what am I going to do with that wealth? Because I'm going to be asked about it on the Day of Judgment. I've been given the academic space and intellect and opportunities to be able to learn a certain amount of knowledge, to be able to gain a certain degree of ability. So how am I spending that? How am I using it? I've been given a relative degree of health. You look, there's people who are my age who are not healthy. There's people who are much younger who are not healthy. How have I taken that health that Allah has blessed me with, and how have I used it, and how will I answer for it on the Day of Judgment? These are questions that we should ask ourselves. These are questions that are essential to ask. Because it's in the context of asking these questions today that we'll succeed tomorrow. You know, like I can tell you that like a high school student takes a class and they get very happy if you give them a study guide. And they complain like crazy if they don't have a study guide. You know what I mean by study guide? Like there's a class, there's a physics, I don't know, introduction to physics. They teach for 4 or 5 weeks, and then the night before the study guide or the day before the exam, they give you a study guide. It's 4 pages. So the students get happy. Okay, the teacher gave us a study guide. We know what's going to be on the test. We just have to review the study guide. It's already there. And if they don't get a study guide, they complain. This is a mean teacher. This teacher didn't tell us, you know, what was coming on the test. But this study guide is like, it gives people the opportunity to focus and tells people what's going to show up on the exam. SubhanAllah, not only do we have the study guide, we actually have the questions. You know, you want to see students who are very happy? Give them the test the night before and tell them that this is a copy of the test. You'll see the same test tomorrow. You'll see the same test tomorrow. So what is that a sign of? That's a sign that the teacher wants every student to get an A. That's a sign that the teacher wants every student to get an A. Now, will every student get an A? No. Because some will still take it lightly and not study and not, you know, they have their experience in this. But when the teacher gives every student the test the night before, it's basically a sign that they want every student to get an A. And that's exactly the circumstance that we find ourselves in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his mercy and concern for the community, gave us the exam questions. The Quran highlights for us what the circumstances are. We know we're going to be asked about our youth and how we lived it, our time and how we spent it, our wealth and where we used it. All of these things are clear. There's no doubt in anyone's mind. There's no confusion. These are the questions. We have the exam. We know what's coming. So it behooves us to review and prepare for the exam given that we have the questions. Again, we have the questions. It's Allah's mercy that we have the questions. But it's an opportunity for us. So it's best that we start number one, recounting the blessings before they're counted before us. That's one step. To just think for a moment. Just pause and say, I've been given some ability. I need to spend it to please Allah. And then after that, we should ask the question. We should ask the questions before they're asked. So what did we do in the context of those blessings? What did we do in the context of those blessings? And then the third thing is, was it for the sake of Allah? What was our niyyah? What was our intention? That's part of the picture here as well. But it should be solely for the sake of Allah, cognizant and recognizing that it is only because of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we were able to do these things. Allah gives tawfiq, Allah gives ability, Allah gives health, Allah gives wealth, Allah creates the opportunities. Everything is from Allah. So there's no other reason to do anything. People's praise, people's, you know, saying you were a scholar, you were a shaheed, you were a qari, you were a generous person. It doesn't get anyone anywhere. It doesn't mean anything. It's just as it's passing. People pass, people come, people go. It's passing. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what's permanent. So we should, number one, at least if you want to take it in the context of the hadith, number one, we should straighten our niyyah. Number two, we should do muraqabah of the things that are to come before. That's the purpose of these hadith, by the way. They recall or recite the event so that we can internalize that and begin to imagine that we are present at that place. And number three, we should recount the blessings that Allah has bestowed upon us. And we should ask the question today before we're asked tomorrow, what did we do in the context of those blessings? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to keep our niyyah solely for His sake, and may He make us amongst those who are able to prepare for the day of judgment, knowing what will happen on that day. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ